for those of us who are pursuing after holiness and have understood and seek to live according to the new covenant, what do you feel is the greatest danger? Well, one we can say is hypocrisy, because when we have built the reputation of just by belonging to this church, first of all, and also by our testimony, we like to maintain that impression that we have given to others, even if we find in our private life that we are slipping up. That is one of the greatest dangers, of continuing to give an impression which is not actually true. And you know, the Pharisees were people who were trying to pursue righteousness. And as far as I know, from what I've read, they started as a group a couple of hundred years before Christ because they felt that the Jews who had come back from Babylon were not really serious about obeying God's laws. And that first group of Pharisees who started that group, I believe they were sincere people who wanted to be really righteous and probably very humble as well. But like every other movement, decline sets in over a period of time, because maybe the leaders slacken off and don't challenge people like they did in the beginning, or because the early leaders died and some other leaders took over and they did not have the same vision. Because very often, if you read the history of Christian movements, the first founders know God. And those who follow usually know the founder, not God. That's the danger. So it's very dangerous to be, you know, to be known as associated with a church. The Jews boasted to John the Baptist saying, "We are from Abraham." And John the Baptist said, "God doesn't care for that. God can make children from the stones for Abraham." So we have to be very careful that our glory is not that we belong to NCCF or any church that has a reputation or to any particular doctrine. It is our life that is the light. The life is the light, not the doctrine we profess or the church we belong to. Now, all these things are very evident. When I say, you say, yeah, I know that. But we have to be careful that we live according to that. So, think of a verse like this. When Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Therefore, you ought to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, I'm sure all of you have read this. Anybody who's read the New Testament must have come to chapter 5 at least. And those of us who value the Sermon on the Mount, you must have read Matthew 5 many times. What did you do with Matthew 5 verse 48? Now, if it was a saying that I will make you perfect one day like your father is perfect, okay, that's a promise. This is not a promise. This is a command. Not you will be perfect. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I believe, and I've seen this in my own life, that when you come across a word in Scripture, a word that Jesus spoke, and you don't take it seriously to try and understand what that means, how can I obey it, we have already missed the straight and narrow path just by that one action, that I don't take that word seriously. I just let it slip by. Yeah, it must mean something. Okay, I don't understand it. And then we've already missed it. Maybe 1 degree, 5 degrees, and then we are moving in the wrong direction. And someone with discernment will be able to see that we have missed the path. You may not see it yourself. But one who is a serious Christian will stick at that verse. I remember the years when I read that many times, and I was not serious about discipleship, and I just went past it and went to the next chapter. But once I became serious about my Christian life about 46 years ago, I began to take these things very seriously. And I said, Lord, that's not a command. That is not a promise. I mean, that's not a promise. And it's not something you said you will do for us. But it's a command given to me to be perfect. And this is a standard given as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Imagine Jesus telling me, I've got to be perfect like God is perfect. I want to ask all of you, my brothers and sisters, please be honest and ask yourself, have you ever once in your life taken that word seriously? Or did you skip past it? Or did you say, well, I don't know, it doesn't really matter? Or did you assume that it was a promise, one day you'll be perfect? Then you're not reading scripture carefully. So what I did, I said, Lord, I can't understand it, but as I've studied the Bible, I've discovered that very often, you know, that verse in Proverbs, which says we discover truth as we dig more into it. So I said, Lord, I want to find out what exactly this means, and perhaps the answer is in somewhere else in scripture. God sees, you know, the Lord told Adam, by the sweat of your brow you will get your bread. That's one of the things he told him in Genesis 3. And I've discovered that it's by the sweat of my brow that I discover what is in scripture, that I get spiritual bread as well. Now, if I'm not willing to perspire, spiritually speaking, that means seriously study the scripture, I will not get the real bread. It's like a lazy person who doesn't want to work hard and expects to get bread. And many, many Christians study the Bible like that, carelessly. Now, if you ask yourself one question, if you did your earthly job, whatever it is, in the same careless way that you read the Bible, how much would you be earning today? Would you still be in the present job you have? If you did that earthly job with the same carelessness with which you study the scriptures. And I am convinced that most Christians, if they did their earthly job with the same carelessness that they studied the scriptures, they would be losing their jobs. And if most women who work at home cook their meals with the same carelessness with which they study the scriptures, their meals would taste pretty tasteless, sure. But so many women take such care to make sure the meals are tasty by studying, reading, catering books and all types of things. I wish they would study the scriptures like that. And people who study in order to advance in their profession, I want to learn something more. The science of my profession is changing all the time, so I have to keep in touch with the profession. I wish they would study the scriptures like that. It would make a world of difference in your life. Now, I began to study the scriptures when I was still working in the Navy. It's not something I did after I quit my job. In fact, I got a pretty good grounding of scripture while I was still in my naval service. Anyway, what I discovered about this verse was, compare scripture with scripture. It's a little guideline I'd give you. There is an answer to everything that you can't understand somewhere else in scripture. And God's hidden it, and he'll reveal it to those who are willing to earn their bread by the sweat of their brow.